Hey everybody, welcome. It's another edition of Inside Lion Athletics. Busy week. We got basketball teams all over the place. And then Jim Curry's keeping all the fires burning back home in Commerce. We get to start out with the boss. And man, what a day. And you burned up a bunch of postage stamps getting the word out on some neat new stuff regarding football and facilities, but how's Thanksgiving, Jim? Let's start off with where we
Yeah,
usually
you
do.
know,
What'd you
yeah, I
eat?
appreciate that. Yeah, totally. That feels like it was a month ago right now. No, I mean it was great actually. I stuck around and then was able to kind of get my in-laws are up in upstate New York, so kids were up there and I was able to fly up there real quick, and then I actually flew back through North Carolina to see my folks. So it was kind of a I was jet setting during that time period, but got back here and was able to spend a couple of days, and I don't know, I might have brought the weather back with us because it was cold up there, but
Oh
it's cold
man,
here. But
I'll
you're
tell
in, yeah,
you.
but you're in, you're up in Connecticut, so I mean it
Yeah,
ain't
there
that
was
cold.
white stuff on the side of the roads everywhere. I wasn't quite sure what it was, but it was cold when we
Yeah.
touched it.
Well, no question. I mean, heck, we haven't met since before Thanksgiving, but yeah, you know, we got back from RGV, and then you know we were hosting conference volleyball that week, and you know we actually just got done with a debrief from the conference office this week, and you know credit to the staff. You know, November's a grind. You know, we've talked about that before, but you know all the feedback we got about the conference tournament was really really positive, and that's really good as we get ready to host the soccer conference tournament next year. You know, really a credit and a testament to the staff overall to kind of balance everything going on. I mean, that weekend, road football, road conference basketball, home hosting, obviously the tournament, and so to be able to have the to be able to get it off the gr to get it done, but then also have the success that we had in executing it was really good. So credit to Anicia and Josiah, Avi, Sarah. I mean, just the whole crew. For the work that they put into that, because it really came off really well. So it was fun to host. We got great feedback, and you know, so really proud of the team more than anything, and what we were able to do. And then we're just locked in on basketball, and obviously there's a lot going on. But yeah, we obviously have been working hard on just evaluating what we can do to continue to invest and grow football. That's an important driver for everything. Maybe this is saying the quiet part out loud, but you know, when you've got you know, when you've got success in football, it can really lift up everybody in all other sports too. So
Absolutely, we've
it
seen it.
helps.
We've seen it.
Yeah, that's right. I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, we've seen it here.
You know what? There's so much to talk about football, but I know we don't want to leave the let's go to basketball real quick because all of a sudden, the men are over 500, the women are at 500, and they both felt like they hadn't seen either one of them in a while. But these two Lion basketball teams, Jim, a big improvement over last year with the personnel that Coach Val and Coach Rose have brought in. It's a lot of fun to watch these guys go.
Yeah, they're fun. They're fun to watch, and you know, I think as you see what's happening with us, and then you see what's happening in the Southland Conference, I think we need to be prepared for every game in conference play, both men's and women's side. I mean, they're going to be bar fights, frankly. I mean, it is really good basketball being played in the Southland Conference right now, and you know, when you look at just on the KenPom on the men's side, I think we're up to 18 now in the country. We're ahead of some FBS conferences in the KenPom right now. I mean, remember as just a few years ago, even when we joined the league, you know, we were down in like the low 20s, 28, 29, you know, in that neck of the woods. So to see the growth that's occurred over the last few years in basketball, you know, is really impressive across the league. So
Now
it's a
you're
credit to
talking about
everybody.
the conference rating. You
Conference ranking.
right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Yep. So just that
Absolutely, the
elevated
conference has
play.
gotten better.
Yeah, no question. And you know, I think when you look at some of the early results we've had as well in the non-conference play, you know, we picked up a win obviously earlier in the week on the women's side against Lafayette or Louisiana Lafayette. You know, that win won by 25. It was their second, you know, worst loss, you know, from a points per to point differential perspective of the year, only behind Texas. So, you know, we played really well and executed obviously really well there. We jumped 60 points in the net after that win. So for those that aren't familiar with the net, it's kind of this computer ranking that looks at efficiency ratings and just overall outcomes for every basketball team in the country. It's part of a selection criteria tool for March Madness, but to jump 60 spots after any outcome is a pretty impressive performance. So credit to Val and the group. And then obviously the men picking up two big road wins in New Jersey out there, and just kind of setting the stage for tomorrow at UConn. And then, believe it or not, we're back home for basketball now this weekend. It's been a long time since we've seen the Lions in action at home, but Christmas in Commerce, we've got a number of things planned. Santa will be here Sunday. We got Lucky Santa on Saturday. So really just trying to push things from a fan's perspective and really a family-facing perspective to get folks out and get there. But at the same time too, you can have some fun with Santa and the crew, but you'll also enjoy some pretty good basketball along the way as well.
No doubt. So the women, just to wrap up the hoops for the moment, the women play Saturday 2:30 against Abilene Christian.
Abilene Christian. Yep.
And then the men play Sunday evening, and they're going to take on Central Arkansas, and that game's at
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Yep. So those
Perfect.
are actually, so we, for folks that haven't, they're kind of, with football season now wrapped up and kind of moving into basketball, for those that maybe haven't taken notice, we moved our Saturday doubleheader times a little bit later to the 2:35. So we aligned this Saturday and Sunday's tip time so the men and women with that just to start to get into a little bit of a cadence. And so we really did that honestly to try to give people their Saturday mornings, kind of handle their family stuff, youth sports, things like that, but then give them the opportunity to kind of get out here, catch Lion basketball on Saturday night and still be in time, still get home in time for dinner.
Good deal. You had a lot of words that went out today about football and about facilities. And like you said, football is a driver at a lot of schools, and especially in the South. Jim, what? There's a lot of money y'all are getting ready to put in there. Where has it been? Some people would say, where has it been?
Well, I hope we answered the question of not where it's been, but where has it been going for some time now? I think it was, and maybe that's on me. Maybe I haven't done a good enough job of articulating where some of this investment, that this increased investment that we've been receiving through a combination of sources, whether it's university, whether it's new self-generated revenues, whether it's increased donor contribution, where it's going. But that was kind of part of the exercise here. I think we've talked about it anecdotally maybe, but to lay it out and enumerate it for folks and see just how far we've come in a short amount of time with our investment in football, particularly. I mean that annual budget, that's annual spend in football, now relative, this year compared to where it was at the outset of the Division I transition process when we announced. I mean, it's almost $2 million additional per year that we're looking at now in our spend in football. So that's
Where
been a
did that
very
money
nice.
come from? Did that, I mean, would you generate locally or both or with the A&M system? Did they
No,
kick
it's
in?
it, No, it's been generated from multiple sources here locally. It's been increased donor contribution. That's been a significant part of it. I mean, when we talk about impact of giving for to Lion Athletics, we see that across the board in all sports. That's not just a football dynamic. That's every sport in terms of what we're doing there. So that's how important and critical that growth is. And we've seen those numbers climb to record high. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We go still got a lot of room to grow, and that will be kind of be the next phase of this initiative is to grow that donor base to a level that we think, based on our modeling and benchmarking, can position us to sustain championship level excellence in the Southland Conference and really position us for to be in a position to compete for national championship in football. When we look at those aspirational peer institutions that we're talking about, I mean, it's the Montana States of the world. I mean, when we look at what they're doing from a donor contribution perspective, we look at our per gift average, it's really on par with really everybody else in our peer group, including them. We just don't have the N. We don't have the donor count. And we've grown it. And it's just important. Like at the end of the day, like donors are the differentiator in this space. And you can kind of see that even at the highest levels right now, those schools that have really started to level up in this new era of college athletics, it's not just all related to NIL and rev share. It's in the facility space, it's in the operational space, and it's due in large part to just getting more people into the fold. And so, if anybody's ever heard me talk about giving, they've never heard me talk about a specific number that we have to get to from a
Right.
total dollar perspective. Everything I've messaged since the first day of here has always been about number of donors in the fold. And we think that number to get where we want to be is 4,000. And, with over 100,000 Living Alums, with the history of success that we've had in athletics and the passion that we've got for Lion Athletics, that while it's a stretch goal from where we're currently at, it is a goal that we can achieve if we can all rally around this and get it going. So to answer your question, a long way to answer your question there, but it's coming from increased donor support, which we've been fortunate to enjoy over the last few years. It's coming from additional self-generated revenue. So that's corporate sponsorships, which is at a record high, and Dan and the team there is doing an excellent job in growing sponsorship across the place. And if you're at an event, you're seeing more logos and sponsors around
Yes,
than you maybe
indeed.
have in the past. So that's a good thing. It's coming from increased ticket sales. Everybody kind of sees that premium space at football and maybe even courtside. It was a lot more full this year than it had been in the previous year. And that was part of a strategic effort to grow incremental revenue on the premium side, because again, that helps in that space. Obviously some of the other things we do in other sports to help grow ticket revenue, I mean, we're hitting some highs there as well. And then we'd be remiss, like the university continues to step up and help support us in this climb and this initiative to elevate our athletics programs here. So whether it's Dr. Rudin or our CFO Tina Livingston, like they're all in on this thing and they're committed to our success. And so would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge the support and alignment that we get from them.
Dr. Rudin's caught a little heat for some of this stuff, and it's really just been people not really understanding that, it's a public institution and you do get to look behind the curtain, but you don't look behind the curtain all the time because that's where some of the work's getting done.
Well, and
And
I think I'm
that
glad you
goes
said
to
that because,
money, the facilities, just strategy all the way around.
I'm glad you said that because I do think there's some things that we've done that are maybe less visible than other things. Like we see the video boards in the field house, right? We see the steel going up at the event center. Like those are visible examples of investment, into the athletics programs that you can see. But those things behind it, maybe that are less obvious or less visible, the scholarship, the sports medicine investment, the staffing additions, the creating new lines and working hard to kind of grow brand reach and media exposure, like those things are maybe a little less obvious, but like they make a huge impact in terms of what we're doing holistically in the growth of this program, and they take resources to do as well. So we're as equally committed to that as we are in those front-facing things. But if you look at where our kind of strategy has been since, I think this predates me getting here too, is a lot of it's really starts at the student-facing perspective. So how do we ensure successful academic outcomes? How do we ensure that our student athletes' health and well-being is paramount? How do we make sure that when they travel on the road, they're safe and they're well taken care of? Like those are the things that people don't get to see, but like, for example, we go on the road at RGV. We're in a 2-hour rain delay, and they're calling me saying, "Hey, do you have any issues with travel here?" And I'm like, "No, we were able to charter a plane to go down there, and if we get delayed, that's okay. We don't have to worry about,
Another 30
worry
minutes.
about catching a flight or another 30 minutes or things like that because we missed the connector, and try to get rebook." 100 people to get back to Commerce, Texas the next day. Like, so those are the little things that like aren't little things, and they take resources, but they make a huge impact in the experience of our student athletes.
No doubt about it. Jim, what about facilities? You covered a lot of ground in that too, but we're a little bit further down the road with some of these things than you and I have been earlier in the fall when we talked about facilities.
Yeah, no question. And I guess, we touched on it a little bit both a moment ago and then even in the communication out to our base is there's a number of phases we're in on different projects. We got new boards in the field house, right? We've got new steel going up on a $75 million building, right? I mean, that is not insignificant in terms of the investment into our facilities portfolio, and it creates a really important domino for us to reimagine how some of our existing spaces could be repurposed to support our other sports. And so you know, when we talk about maybe some of that planning exercise, there's kind of multiple phases going on relative to football. We've talked about the feasibility study at football and the deliverables there. Part of that is also happening at the same time as a master planning exercise for the university. And really, a major part of that conversation is, where is the football stadium located? Because we know that there's investment to come there, but we got to be really intentional about where we put that, not just from a football perspective, but also from a growth perspective, and also from a campus adjacency, and making sure that it all aligns well. And so, I mean, we literally had the master planning, the folks that are working our master plan for the university on campus again this week. We've been engaged with them for a few months now. And so we'll see something come from that in the spring. But the football stadium is a big part of that exercise, and it informs other things that are happening on campus as well. And then we talk about, you know, in the communication today, how we can think about and reimagine the field house, because the field house is a heck of an asset. I mean, let's just call it what it is. I mean, you just
Totally.
have that amount of indoor space, particularly in Texas, is a heck of an asset. And you know, for those that like to beat up the field house, I think because it maybe not be the quintessential basketball venue, like, I kind of love it, I'm not gonna lie.
I'm with you, pal. I've
But
always loved the field house. JP Heath made me fall in love with it.
you know, but I mean, you've seen other institutions do something similar that we're looking at. I mean, one of the most iconic men's basketball venues in America, Kohl Field House, right? So at University of Maryland, they build the Comcast Center, Kohl Field House, you know, so much history. They converted that into indoor turf. You know, I mean, so you've seen this example before in other spaces, and I think it creates a similar opportunity for us to reimagine what this can be using existing footprint. And so when you're looking at interior reno as opposed to new build, now the possibilities of that happening in the near term become way more a reality than it would be if we're trying to find a new site, new location, go through all the planning exercise, everything else that comes with the funding component of it, the fundraising aspect of it, as opposed to saying, man, we got a great asset right now that we can maybe reimagine and turn into one of the most dynamic training spaces, really, in all of FCS football.
So, and then right next door, you have the bones of the former natatorium. And then right next to the bones of the former natatorium, you have Whitley Gym, which currently holds all of the weightlifting. There's a lot you can do with those without having to tear them down.
Yeah, you know, you talk about some of like the venerable spaces around here, and you know, I have a little bit of a soft spot for Whitley Gym. I mean, it's 90 years old, but like, I got a little bit of a soft spot for it, because when you walk in there, it's got these like beautiful wood roofs, and like you're just like, okay, this is a really cool space, and you know, and when you learn about the history of it as well, you start to appreciate it even more. And so, you know, I do think there's a scenario. Again, this assumes that makes good sense. Financially, that maybe that could be converted back into a court space as it was originally done, and you know, maybe that's a practice facility for court sports, or maybe even a competition space for volleyball or things like that. So I think this is where, when you get that big domino to fall with the event center, you can start to really get creative about how you repurpose space to really solve some problems, and maybe also do it in a timeline that can that really you could start to realize some of the benefit of it in sooner rather than later.
Just for a point of reference for some folks, you might remember when we were traveling to Canyon all the time to take on WT. Well, the First United Bank Center hasn't always been there. They used to play in what is now called the box. And the box was their old competition gym, but now it is strictly their volleyball court. So, they took it, turned it, and that intimacy that that gym had for basketball also had it for volleyball when they tightened things up. So, we don't have to reinvent wheels necessarily here at
No,
all.
exactly. You know, and you know, your mind starts going a little bit kind of into some fun places too, where you think about, All right. Well, if that becomes the home of volleyball, then maybe we could put a competition sand, field, kind of space in between the field house and Whitley Gym, and six courts side by side, locker room out of Whitley. It's really the volleyball home, and beach is such a growing sport here in the state of Texas. So again, these aren't things that are, I don't want anybody to read this as like, oh, this is the next thing. We're going to add beach volleyball. We're going to do the convert
Right.
Whitley, but don't think for 1 second it's not running through my
Well, you know, it's
head.
okay. You make some territory up when you're at 30,000 feet, and you can get a lot of
Yeah.
ideas from up there. Hey, what about something? Go back to the money a little bit. And you talked earlier about the benchmarking exercises that the university has done with its peers in the Southland Conference. Just to, see where we stack up in certain things right now. It's not just wins and losses that helps build these things.
Yeah, no question. I think for us, that's been an important part of this kind of, exercise to grow through the reclass process. And one thing that's probably I think we forget sometimes as well is we're still supposed to be in reclass right now.
That's right. This is year four.
this is year four. And so some of the things that we had talked about when I first got here with Mark and Tina, or Dr. Rudin and Tina Livingston is just, what does this look like as we go through the process, and what do we want to look like on the other side of it coming out? And so, some of the things have been kind of accelerated as part of this, but I do think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that in order for us to even get to this place, we had to meet brand new, like out of the blue, higher academic and financial investment thresholds to even qualify for the accelerated reclass track. And so I really do think that that is worth mentioning, because it's really, I think, evidence and a testament to the work that was being done in advance of that vote taking place in January of this year. It happened in January of 2025, the same year we're currently in. And if we hadn't been doing the work steadily and strategically and intentionally in advance of that, it wouldn't even be a reality that we could even be in this boat. And so, that's not all on me. That again, that's a credit to Dr. Rudin and Tina and the others for, when they got this thing off the ground before I got here. But it's one of those where I think it speaks to the level of intentionality that we and the level of investment that has been occurring since the move to really get us to this point. And so again, I probably fault myself a little bit. Maybe I'm reflecting a little bit through this entire exercise that maybe I haven't done a good enough job of articulating where we've put that investment and how it's making an impact in the day-to-day of our student athletes. But I'm not gonna I'm, I won't make
Hey, well, let me
that
ask you this. So how much money did we save? Or how much more money did we get access to by finishing in 3 years instead of four?
Yeah, great question. So we haven't been able to like quantify it like down to the dollar. I mean, we didn't. I mean, there it's nothing really saved per se. It's really about what new revenue opportunities open up. So, we kind of touched on this before, and again, it's not public. It hasn't been publicly released by the NSA, but I'll speak to it a little bit. Like, for example, you can earn an academic performance revenue incentive. This is all based on the basketball March Madness dollars. If you meet certain academic benchmarks, either related to grad rates or APR, academic progress rating, we know right now we're going to qualify for that in the current year based on our academic outcomes from last year. And if we had not accelerated the reclass track, then we would, even though we met the thresholds, we wouldn't have been eligible because we're not eligible for revenue distribution from the NSA as a provisional member. And so, I mean, that alone, I mean, those academic units are, I mean, roughly $250,000in money coming in for academic outcomes. So had we not accelerated the track, even though we qualified based on our academic outcomes, we wouldn't have got it. And so, you think about that alone, but there's other forms of NCA revenue distribution that we will also make ourselves, that will also be available to us as well. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we're not even eligible for every piece of revenue distribution yet. We still got a couple items that we're still 2 years out on. And again, that's all prescribed in the NCA rules.
Yeah,
But
these aren't unexpected
correct.
situations arising.
You're right. So again, when we talk about, you asked about where some of these dollars are coming from as well. Well, we also just opened up access into NCA revenue distribution by accelerating the timeline, and then also qualifying for significant additional dollars through academic outcomes.
Okay, man. God, what else? We could go, you and I go on and
We go all day, but
go
I will
all
say
day.
this. I mean, as part of that correspondence too, I mean, just again, remaining responsive to, a really evolving landscape. We know that NIL and rev share are a component now in this space. We're in that game. We've been in that game. This is going to give us an opportunity to be more in the game. And I'll say this, there's a really kind of special group of donors that have stepped up to contribute in that space. We've got a couple different names for this group right now. I don't know if we've settled on one yet, but Competitive Excellence Fund or the 25 Club, or we kind
Yeah,
of
we
have
want it
a
to be a big, if it's going to have a
yeah.
number in it, make it a big number. We want it to be the Fab Five. We need
Yeah.
more than five.
Yeah, but this is a group of really special donors that have stepped up their contributions or made new contributions to make some of this stuff happen. And so, I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that support from them and the additional investment they're making in to really elevate what we're doing in terms of attracting, retaining, and recruiting not just elite athletes, but elite student athletes as well, because we have academic requirements tethered to some of these additional direct benefits we're providing to student athletes in an effort to stay committed to our core mission. And so, but we're thankful for that group. And I mentioned there's
They
some
need company.
additional, yeah, there's, yeah, there's some additional kind of branded efforts coming out. So there's a lot of moving pieces behind the scenes that I think people will see getting deployed. But the big piece in all of this, and I think the big takeaway is, we got to get that donor count to 4,000. And we may not get it all done this year. Let me be very clear. Like
It's a
we
big
got done
number
with
for where
last
we've
year.
been.
Yeah, I mean, we were, I mentioned in there at the height of our Division II time, we were sitting at about 400 donors, almost 400 donors. And so that might seem like a lot, man. 10x, like, what are you thinking? Like, that's crazy, Like, it's really not when you start to cut the numbers, and you start to think about how many folks that we've got involved in the university, in Lion Athletics, some nexus, some touch point there. And then at the same time too, understanding how impactful that can be. And so, part of the exercise of enumerating all the investments and then talking about the outcomes is that I hope people understand, because we think about this every day, about how we're being good stewards of the resources that we're provided and trying to ensure that we get great, successful outcomes, both athletically and academically, as we support our student athletes and our athletics programs. And so, that's important for us as we move along and also ask for people to get more involved in what we're doing.
Okay. Last thing, because we I
Yeah.
almost let this go by. Is Clint Dalzell the happiest guy on campus right now?
You know what? Clint's
He
working his
should
tail off,
be.
I'll tell you. He's got recruits in this weekend. Here's the thing. Like, Clint has been so great to work with, and he cares so much about this program and everything it's doing. And I mean, I see the pain in him, when we lose a ball game. I mean, it matters. This isn't just a job or a stop along the way. Like, this is personal for him. And, so I appreciate that so much about his passion for this place and, how much he cares. And, I just think every time that, we go through this exercise, like, and we start to evaluate where we're at and we continue to look for ways, like, it's just thinking about how can we continue to create a space for him to be successful and be strategic about the resource investments that we make, knowing how important and passionate our fans are about Lion football, but really Lion athletics as a whole, and how important that is for a driver for all of us, and really kind of setting the tone for what we do here as a university. So it's a huge rally point for us. We know that. That's what makes this place really special, I think, is just how connected people feel to our programs, to our coaches, to our student athletes. And it's not just it's a family. I mean, but I'll say this, like he and his staff, I mean, they were working their tails off before, and I know they're working their tails. Actually, we're going to get together later tonight. We're going to talk through some things in advance of this weekend's recruiting visits. He and his crew are burning the midnight oil, I can tell
Great stuff. All right. Well, tell them we'll be home soon and
you
we can't wait to see them back in the field house
that.
sometime. Jim,
No doubt. You...
we could go on forever, but we got to line up here and
All
tell
right, line up. Let's go
everybody,
get some W's this weekend.
dadgum right, it's only UConn.
Yeah, you know, another national TV opportunity for the Lions. It's just what we do here, right?
I
Let's use that
know.
platform. Let's get the university on full display.
Well, remember what we did to UConn last year? We sent them out to Hawaii and they lost three straight down there. And I'm sure Danny Hurley blamed it on us, but that's
I'm sure.
anyway. Hey, it's great. We'll see you back home. And folks, stick around. There's going to be more Inside Lion Athletics coming up. Avi Mehta is going to bring us to the barn. We'll see you down home when we get back there tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Inside Lion Athletics Podcast. Avi Mehta here with Lion Women's Basketball Coach Valerie King. Coach, big win yesterday at Lafayette against the Raging Cajuns. Has to be a good momentum builder going into this week for you.
Yeah, you know, it was a good win for us. We were good probably about 35 minutes of the game, which you were there, so you were able to see it. We stuck to our game plan with what we wanted to do on the offensive end and the defensive end. We were able to put four good quarters together.
You know, coming off a 10-day break following that game against Southeastern, you know, how crucial was it to just kind of, you know, respond now that you're a little bit of a normal cadence for the next couple of weeks with two games in a week?
Yeah, it was huge for us, to be able to come out and do what we had been practicing, sticking to what we've been really working on and drilling into our kids. So, we had some pretty tough practices last week, to try to, get over the hump of losing to Southeastern, and just shoring up some stuff that, were problems for us.
Going into now, on looking ahead to Saturday, you take on an Abilene Christian team that has got a really good start to the season, a couple of impressive wins. What have you seen as you've started scouting them so far?
Just a very sound defensive team that can really score the ball. Obviously they do some different stuff that'll could cause us some problems, but obviously that we've got 3 days to prep for it, get ready for them. They've got a really good player in Peyton Hall. And then four other kids that surround her, they've got a really good post player. And they have their system, they do what they do, and they're really, really good on the defensive end.
You know, after that, you only have one non-conference game. As you're scouting a team like Abilene Christian's already played, I think we're their fifth Southland team they'll play. Does that
Yeah.
help you as you're cross-scouting these other teams going into Southland play?
Yeah, I mean, I think just trying to find similarities in people they've played, and watching those games a little more closely, whether it's conference or out of conference, whoever it is. I think that helps quite a bit. I think we've watched almost every single one of their games they've played. So it's I think you can take stuff from each game, to form your own game plan.
Now, going after that game, obviously it's just one more non-conference, but you get into the rest of your 21 conference games. And so, you know, preparing for that, obviously going into that McNeese game next week, you know, this game has to be crucial for that, preparing you for that gauntlet that's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously every game is big for us. It's Abilene. It's our first home game in probably
A
a
long time.
month, I
Yeah,
think.
I think the
So,
last one was November 8th. Yeah, or
yeah.
November 9th. Yeah, it's been a while.
So obviously that's a big thing for us too, just being able to play at home again. I think every single day that we're in the gym is big for us. Preparing for the next game, preparing for the next week, and getting us ready for the league schedule that's coming up.
You know, last couple of games, obviously, what have you seen from, what are some of the players that have stood out to you in terms of just their performance on your side?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of our kids have stepped up. They've been putting a lot of time in the gym. Cora had a really good game yesterday. She lives in the gym, as I think a lot of us know.
Yeah.
But not just the scoring piece, you know, they've really dug in and bought in on the defensive end and rebounding. We were plus seven on the board yesterday. You know, something, you know, we've been really talking about a lot, everybody talks about. So, you know, Alva was really good for us yesterday. On the defensive end, stuck to her guns on the defensive end. I think had 9 or 10 rebounds for us. So, you know, that's what we need from her. You know, Amaya's getting into her groove a little bit more, I think, game after game. You know, I mean, we haven't even talked about Riza and Tiani, but, you know, both of them have been obviously really good for us from the jump. You know, and we kind of thought that going into the season that they would be two big pieces for us. So, you know, T's been able to score it on the block for us, a really good defensive presence inside with her. And then, you know, Riza being able to handle the ball alongside Amaya, having 2 point guards out there at a time really helps.
You know, you touched on it. You told me kind of after that your goal was to hold Louisiana to under 70 points. Well, you hold them to 47. So you had to be really impressed with the defensive effort there yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping if we could keep them under 65, that, you know, we would really have a chance to, you know, win the game. So, you know, I think we did a really, really good job of limiting their shots in transition, limiting their second chance points. And I knew if we could do that, we would have a successful day.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for stopping by. I know you got practice. Get ready for it. Good luck this week, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Avi.
That does it here for With Coach Valerie King. We'll have another edition later today with a couple more coaches. Stay tuned. And welcome back to the Inside Line Athletics Podcast here with Lion Men's Basketball Coach Jarrett Von Rosenberg, fresh off a couple wins in New Jersey. Coach, feels good to win three in a row coming into this week.
Yeah, you really look at the schedule, and it's two really good opportunities for us, one being a road game and then the other being a neutral game. But to go and play three really good halves, you know, we didn't come out very well in that first half, obviously. But to play three really good halves, get two wins, it was really important for our team to see some success and to have some success. And we've had a great week of practice, kind of going, you know, off of that trip, starting Saturday. So I told our guys this is the most practice we'll probably have for the rest of the year in a consecutive time frame. So for us to get that work in, and I think we even made some strides this week.
You know, you talk about just, you know, trying to find the identity of the team, you know, going down 17 education day on the road, but bouncing back to win, I'm sure that showed a lot of the character of this team.
Yeah, and just played really well. Guys, you know, some new guys, it always takes everyone a little bit different timing to kind of get their feet under them, but you know, namely Damian Garcia had a really good weekend. You know, leading scorer in the country last year in NAI. Was still trying to figure it out the first couple games, and we've had some tough opponents. But really good to see him, you know, kind of get more comfortable with what we're doing. And then Tay Mosier, obviously a returner for us, played, you know, maybe the most pivotal role coming in and really running offense, you know, with new guys, a bunch of new guys, still trying to figure out exactly how we want to flow and how we want to play on the offensive end. Tay came in and really gave us some incredible minutes that had production. But more than that, you know, on film, he was doing things the right way, and it kind of led to other guys playing a little bit better.
You know, touched on Tay, obviously a player that's returning. How crucial is a player like him, Josh, Evan, that have played in your system a year prior, helping you guys, especially going on the road, being down early?
Yeah, you can't – the only way to simulate it is game action. And so when you have new guys, you have all the practices you want. You know, when you get in the game and you're playing against an opponent that's trying to do different things than you do in practice, it's just impossible to simulate game action. So now that we're getting games under our belt, that's what you know, it always takes it always takes us, especially offensively. I think our defense is always ahead of our offense. But to see our offense, you know, hitting 10 threes in the second half of the FDU game, then following up with 13 more against Army, you know, that's how we want to play. We've been good scoring in the paint, and if we can add a perimeter game to it, we become a much better, more efficient offensive team.
Now get a chance to go back to the Northeast, the state that you're very familiar with, against an opponent that you were familiar with on Friday night, taking it to a UConn team that's kind of, you know, started rolling here late, as of late especially.
Yeah, they're a really good basketball team. Obviously, championship program, championship coach. I think they start 4 returners from last year, so not only talent but experience. it'll be a great test for us. You know, we talk about playing in March. You know, this is the type of matchup you could possibly have in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. So we're going to treat it like that. And then, you know, see what happens. We can grow from it just like any other game. And then, you know, you see where you sit, how you play, what you do, and that gives you kind of a bar that you're trying to reach for in March, the kind of the next time we'll have to play somebody of that caliber.
You know, you touched on four returners that they're starting. Obviously, a lot of new faces on our side. How much do you weigh the last season's game against them as you're preparing for this one?
Oh, really? It's really important. We watched a lot of film on it. You know, our style of defense is unique, switching everything everywhere always. And we had some success defensively at their place. We forced them into 20 turnovers. And for us to stay in the game and be competitive and have a chance to win, we're going to have to force turnovers. We have to get out and score and transition because their half-court defense is really, really good. And, you know, you watched the game against Kansas last night. I think Kansas had 42 points with about 8 minutes left in the game or something like that, you know. So they're going to make it really hard us in the half court, so we've got to be able to manufacture offense off of our defense.
And then after that game, a quick turnaround against a home game against Central Arkansas, a team obviously in a similar league like ours that's played some common opponents. But after that, you get in the cadence a little bit of conference play where you're playing two games in a week, so I'm sure this week is crucial in preparing for that.
Yeah, you know, it's not ideal, but it's the way the kind of schedule felt. It was really big for us to get this week. I thought this week has been great for us from a rest, recovery, and practice standpoint. And then we get two games on top of each other a little bit. But, you know, I think our guys will be ready. I think it helps that we play 10, 11 guys every game. So we got fresh bodies. We got a lot of bodies. And we're going to attack both teams, starting with UConn on Friday.
And just overall, as you're scouting these other teams, especially a team like Central Arkansas has played some Southland teams, what have you kind of seen from, you know, the conference opponents? Because after that, Central Arkansas, you got a couple conference games after that.
I haven't seen – I mean, I watch a lot of – I watch college basketball every night. I haven't dove into anyone in our league yet. We'll start doing that here very soon with our games next week. But our league's really good. Our league's, you know, I think – maybe everyone thought our league was going to take a step back. I think it's even better than it was last year. You know, you obviously have the teams that have been playing well are playing well. But, you know, you look at New Orleans, it's 1-2 bye game. You just look at a lot of teams that are winning games and tough games against good opponents. I just think the bottom half of the league that ended up last year, us being one of those teams, is much improved. So I have a feeling it's going to be a slugfest and every team's going to have multiple losses, and, you know, it's such a long conference season with 22 games. So, you know, we got to stay consistent and stay consistent with our approach and our effort and intentionality every game. And then just play every game and try to win that game and put it behind you and move on to the next one. And then see where you know, we kind of break it into two halves, see where you end after the first 11 games, and then that push down the last 11 to work on conference seeding.
And then touching on the conference, Gianni Hunt, Conference Player of the Week, the first time for the Lions in a couple of seasons. Speak on his performance, especially last week at FDU both games.
Yeah, well, it's just awesome. He's been unbelievable since he got here. And he played really well against FDU, but he's not even playing what he's capable of yet. You know, just like everyone else, that game experience and getting into our system, he missed all of summer. But it just shows you what – having success does for you, right? You know, we go on the road, win two games, played really well, you know, and then a single player gets an accolade, but that's really a team award. You know, they don't hand that award out to teams that, you know, lose three games in a week. So it's good for our guys to understand that individual success is going to come from team success. And, you know, we got a great group of guys in the locker room. We've had different guys step up every night, offensively especially. And when you have multiple guys that can score and make plays for each other, that gives you a chance to be really hard to guard.
And then speaking of Gianni, he's actually going to join us here after you, so looking forward to that. But, Coach, thank you so much for stopping by.
You got it. Go Lions.
Go Lions. And we'll have Gianni Hunt joining you here shortly. Stay tuned to the Inside Line Athletics podcast.
And welcome back to the Inside Line Athletics podcast. Now I'm joined by Southland Player of the Week, guard Gianni Hunt for the men's basketball team. Gianni, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, just talk a little bit about your performance last week. You know, two crucial games in New Jersey, coming out with the win both times. Just talk about kind of how you felt on the court both games.
I felt out there on the court first half as a team. We started off a little slow first game against FDU. So at halftime, I was just thinking to myself, like, you know, I didn't want to lose the game. So whatever I had to do to help us get a dub, whether it was the energy on defense, hit a couple of shots, that's what I had to do. So when I got out there in the second half, I had actually made my first three of the season. Like, I haven't hit a three in all season. I kind of been, like, in a little slump in my head a little bit about it. So when I hit that first three went down, kind of just took a weight off my shoulders, and I just continued to play out there, play hard defense, hit some shots, and we ended up getting a dub.
You know, obviously, you haven't been around college basketball. How much of your experience helps you in a game like that where you're on the road, education day allowed environment, and you're down to try to rally the team and getting the W in the end?
Yeah, most definitely. Like, you know, with experience, you know, I know that the game has ups and downs, ebbs and flows, just like life as well, you know. So I know as long as we stick with it, like, we're going to have a shot in the game. You know, like, a lot of times down 14 at halftime or just at any point in the game, teams could, you know, give up. But, you know, I just knew as a team, especially with the talent and the coaching that we have, like, if we stick with it and we keep playing hard, that something's going to give, and it did.
You know, talk about just your experience being at East Texas A&M. You know, you've been here for a few months now, you know, compared to the other stops you've been. Just overall, how has your experience been here at East Texas A&M?
My experience here has been great. You know, great coaching staff. Coach Rose is a great coach. His philosophy is different than every coach I've been at, but, like, I honestly say, like, I like this one the most, like, you know, especially, like, with the defense and how we have a lot of freedom on both ends of the court, really. You know, he's just really all he cares about is us playing hard, really, and, you know, so, you know, you can't really ask for more from a coach, you know. That I think that's a player-coach type of mindset, you know, just go out there and just play hard, and the simple principles that he has is really just tending towards winning. And the group of guys that we have as a team, you know, like, I've never been on a team where everybody gets along with everybody. Everybody gets along. Everybody talks too cool, is laughing, joke with everybody. So, you know, that's pretty cool, bro. That's a good experience.
And then, you know, going into the rest of the season, obviously taking on a team like UConn, you know, nationally ranked team, you know, how can you take the momentum of last week as a team and going into the game against a tough competition on the road once again?
Just continue to build, you know, whether it's against UConn or the next game, we just got to keep stacking days and keep stacking games, you know. So we just came off a weekend where we won two games. So now we just got to keep doing the right things and continue to build, get better at what areas where we can grow, and go out there and compete.
Now let's talk a little bit outside of basketball. When you're not in the gym working or at practice for a game, what are some of the things that you do on your free time?
My free time, you know, being away from home, I've been away from the house for about 7 years, and I got a big family. Like, I got nieces and nephews that's 7, 8 years old. So for all their life, I've been gone, you know. So I spend a lot of time on the phone talking to my family, whether it's my sisters, my mom, my little nieces and nephews, like, just whoever it is, or my friends back home or my friends overseas on the same journey as me as well. I spend a little bit of time playing video games, but really my life consists of basketball. Like, you know, if I'm not playing it, I'm watching it, college, NBA, or, you know, looking up stats. So, you know, I'm a basketball junkie at the end of the day, so – if I'm not talking to family, playing basketball, I'm watching them for the most part.
And then you guys have spent a lot of time on the road so far this season. What has been some of the cool memories? How was Hawaii, or some of the memories that have stuck out to you just that you'll remember as the rest of the season goes?
Oh, yeah. Hawaii was most definitely a cool trip. We didn't get the outcome that we wanted, but, you know, just being out there in Hawaii with the guys for a little bit, we for sure created some memories, and I think it brought us closer as a team as well. You know, sometimes road trips could build the camaraderie of a team. Also, I think the New Jersey road trip, like, you know, us getting two wins on the road out there in Jersey, I feel like that was pretty big for us. So I think that one sits well with us. You know, I think that was the biggest comeback in D1 history for us, you know. So, like, that's pretty big. That's major. So hopefully we just keep building.
Well, Gianni, thank you so much for stopping by. Good luck the rest of the way, and congratulations on being Southland Player of the Week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You got it. That's going to do it for this edition of the Inside Line Athletics Podcast. We'll be back next week. Go Lions.
Sir, go Lions.